A reading from the Gospel of Matthew. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say the Lord needs them, and he will send them at once." This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, "Who is this?" And the crowd said, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee." A reading from the Gospel of Matthew. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say the Lord needs them, and he will send them at once." This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, "Who is this?" And the crowd said, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee." "Behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden," the old prophet Zechariah proclaimed. What an odd thing to preach, don't you think? Now, for me, it's easy to see the need for multiple guns and fishing rods, but why did Jesus need a donkey and a colt? Well, logistically, he did not. Either animal would have sufficed as a means of transportation, but Jesus wasn't being practical. He was being a preacher. "Who is this?" the crowds wanted to know. It was a question that had plagued Jesus' entire ministry. And with his orders to borrow two animals, Jesus was preaching plainly to the people. Now, what is plain about requesting two animals? Well, the answer to that takes us all the way back to the 49th chapter of Genesis, way back there. And there we hear an old and dying Jacob giving his farewell speech to his 12 sons. Jacob's grandfather was Abraham, to whom God gave the promise of the coming Savior. Everywhere Abraham went, he built an altar and proclaimed that the Savior of the world was coming. "He's coming, he's coming, he's coming," he would say. Abraham's son Isaac, Jacob's father, did the same. "He's coming, he's coming, he's coming." And we know this ultimately because Jacob heard this, and we know this because Jacob's sin finally caught up to him one night. You see, Jacob's name means trickster or thief. And even in the birth canal, he lived into his name, grabbing at his brother Esau's heel. Jacob stole from his brother Esau. He stole from his father Isaac, and he stole from his father-in-law Laban. Jacob stole so much that everybody wanted to kill him. And so in a last-ditch effort to escape the consequences of his sin, he sent his family away as he hit rock bottom, sitting in the dark by a river named the Jabbok.
He didn't sit there long before a mysterious figure walked up behind him and slapped the snot out of him, instigating a fight that lasted all night long. And Jacob hung on with all his might so that the figure couldn't get away from him. And when dawn was breaking, the figure demanded that Jacob let him go. But Jacob said something quite telling. He said, "Not until you bless me." You see, Jacob knew that the figure he was wrestling was God. And Jacob had heard from his grandfather and his father that God had promised the coming Savior. And so Jacob held on to God. He held him to his word, demanding that God keep his promise to him of salvation. And God did. He forgave Jacob's sin and changed his name to Israel, which means Prince of God. How do you like that? And many years later, this Jacob, whose name had been changed to Israel, sat preaching about his salvation made possible by the promised Savior. Jacob's sermon about the coming Savior started when he began to talk to his son Judah. A lion is how Jacob describes Judah. A lion no one dares rouse, he continued. Jacob preaches that the tribe of Judah, that includes King David, will remain until Shiloh comes. Who is Shiloh? Well, the answer is the peaceful one. And how will the peaceful one be identified? Jacob gives us the answer. He ties his donkey to a vine and the colt of his donkey to the choice vine, Jacob said. How many horses? Two. And so you see, with the command for two animals, Jesus is preaching plainly that he is the one of whom Jacob preached. Jesus is preaching plainly that he is Shiloh, the peaceful one, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the Lion of Judah. Jesus is preaching plainly that he is the long-promised Savior now riding into town. And do you know why the Lion of Judah, no one dares rouse, was riding into town? Well, the answer is, he's been roused. He's been roused by rebellious, stiff-necked, deicidal, narcissistic terrors hell-bent on being their own God. Said simply, we have roused the lion, and he has come for us. Greeted by misunderstandings, impure motives, and even outright hostility with no faith, no trust, and no belief to be found anywhere among friends or foe alike matters not. He just keeps coming for us like a lion stalking its prey. He is truly unstoppable. And from the triumphal entry to Golgotha just a few days later, he trekked. And there he endured every bit of the world's unbelief and mistrust. On the cross, he took all that we sinners could put on him, even though it killed him, all the way to the grave and hell, the victim of the sin of the world journeyed. He just kept coming. But 3 days later, his journey brought him out of the grave and to the place of authority at the right hand of the Father, where he now sits with the last word about everything. And just so, we are caught. And what do you suppose the last word of the Lion of Judah should be about us? Well, let each of us confess as we must. But I have news for you this morning. The Lion of Judah's last word about you is not what you deserve. Instead, Christ the King has commanded me to say to you that you are forgiven. Forgiven without condition by the Father for his sake. That is your promise. The Lion of Judah has come for you, and he has caught you, and he has made peace between God and you. So, you lift those palm branches high, because Jesus Christ is for you. Amen.